Hey, this is Sean Doyle, author, speaker, advisor, and co-founder, director of strategy at Fitzmartin. And if you want to learn how to transform your sales team from order takers to quota breakers, significantly increase your revenue, and create scalable sales systems, you really should be listening to my friend Jason Cutter's Authentic Persuasion Show. Come on.
Welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show, a place where business and thought leaders come to weigh in on important sales-related topics that you can use in your sales career and life. I'm your host, Jason Cutter. My mission is to get your help in changing sales from something prospects fear to an act of service they actually seek out and appreciate. Whether you're in sales, leading sales teams, or own a business, I hope this helps you improve your selling effectiveness and you can go out into the world as an authentic persuader. Sean M. Doyle is principal at Fitzmartin, Inc., a leading consultancy focused on sales, marketing, and management, sales and marketing technology services, and revenue operations. Sean and his team at Fitzmartin are focused on long-term value creation through a sales-first scientific approach to driving revenue. Sean knows that if you aren't making sales, the rest doesn't matter, which is why I'm excited for him to be on the show from a sales perspective. And it is the reason for why he works to apply the science of behavioral change to help executives plan, position, and increase their sales revenue. Sean's latest book, Shift, explores 19 practical ideas grounded in the science of behavioral change that can transform a business marketing effort and, by natural extension, its profitability, which should make for a really fun conversation. Sean, welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show.
Jason, what time did we start this thing?
Hey, welcome from the forest.
Is it right
not
now?
Watching the video.
Are we ready to go?
Here we are. Let's do it.
Oh, man.
I'm super excited that you're here. When we first spoke, it was like you take kind of the thoughts that I have in my head and just like really scientific approach, which I love, and just have really dove into that. So yeah, I think this should be fun.
Well, I hope the science doesn't get too wonky or I don't get too geeky, but the Authentic Persuasion Show, the word authentic is such an amazing word, and I'll key on that. I had this 20-year career in marketing mostly, but started more and more sales work, and gosh, taking all these classes and all these lessons, and what I'd been taught was sales is manipulation, not authentic helping, not sales is helping. And about that period of time, I went through a really serious healthcare crisis, and as anybody knows, who's been through a crisis, you know, you reevaluate everything. And I really wanted to know why we were having success, what we did, why was it working, and how to repeat it. Like, doesn't that sound like a good idea, right? Understand those things and be able to repeat it. My clients want repeatable results. Yours maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah, everyone wants to have a system, right? Everyone wants to have the machine that just spits out results and profitability.
Well, the cognitive marketing framework is not just like my idea. Some marketing schmuck comes up with some idea and calls it a framework. And it's based on science and it is based on the trans-theoretical theorem of behavioral change. It was a book written by three scientists, Prochazka, Norcross, and DiClemente. And they did, it's exactly what trans-theoretical sounds like, right? They looked across all the models of behavioral change and they identified with clarity that there are six steps that each of us goes through as we go through change from the way we are, our current state, all the way through to being an advocate for whatever that thing is that we've changed. Well, when I listened to that, I thought, okay, that's a consumer decision journey, really. They've discovered the consumer decision journey. Well, McKinsey, you know, if you're a good marketing sales guy, you read McKinsey and they've got a pretty good quantified, clarified CDJ. But what they did in the science that was revolutionary for me is the application of what they call processes. And they have 9 processes that allow us to codify what to do when, where marketing should have more weight in the process of a buying journey, and where sales should have more weight, and where customer success is responsible. And the aha, for example, marketing, right? Let's speak to that. So consciousness raising, that's one of the processes. That sounds like something an ad agency does, right? They create awareness. But then most agencies don't know ideas like how to leverage private and public commitment, countering, environmental controls, rewards for positive behaviors. But you as a sales coach and a sales leader probably hear, oh, those are late stage conversion kind of words. And they are, right? So this behavioral science allows us to map out, and I'll be glad to share this with your listeners, Jason, what to do when, what communication should occur. It gives you a way to allow sales and marketing to be aligned with a common language and a common purpose and a roadmap, a plan. It's revolutionized our business. In fact, the very first time back to 2002, my largest client, who was about 60, 70% of my revenue at that point. So gorilla client, we all know what that means. We just were terrified and we do whatever they do, whatever they want us to do. Yep. They came and said, hey, we've got these 1,500 prospects. These prospects could change our world. This is critical that we get them. We've hired and fired two ad agencies pursuing these clients and you're up. You want the job? Yes, my gorilla client, I've got no choice. So we laid this science on it. They closed $380 million in 6 weeks, and they had 90% of those prospects who already knew the company took meetings with the sales reps. So it was an astonishing moment. We repeated that program for that client for 13 years until they got acquired by a European company who didn't care what we did. But anyway, I'm okay. See, I told you I'd get nerdy and wonky and start going. I'm excited.
No, you did get nerdy and I love the excitement. And I just want to dive into, so what was it at a higher level, kind of what you applied to them as that third agency, three strikes or you're out, kind of what you helped them with? And let's say basically, what did you do different with your framework than what's typically done?
Yeah, great question. I'd be willing to bet that most of your listeners would identify with the experience of hiring the ad agency, some marketing person, or launching the new website, or doing some pool of marketing, and nothing happened. And they can't figure out why there were no results. So the blame, of course, goes to marketing, right? Marketing doesn't work. Well, that's just not true. Marketing does work. If marketing doesn't work, somebody better call Coca-Cola because they're wasting $13 billion a year. They'd be thrilled to know marketing doesn't work. Marketing does work. What's happening in those situations is they're not understanding where your buyer is in the cycle or how to leverage those tools. So for example, marketing can create awareness. We can make you aware that Jason Cutter can come in. And correct me where if I'm wrong on this, but Jason can come in, retrain, recoach your sales organization and change your results, right? We might be aware that that exists, but what I'm not aware of, it's the consciousness raising. I may not understand how you do it. I may not understand, like, what's your secret sauce, Jason? What's the thing that you do that makes you different from one of the, what are there, 1,000 sales coaching offerings, 2,000? 40,000.
It depends on if you're looking through my LinkedIn feed or not, and all the people I know where it feels like everyone's in that bucket. One of the big things that separates me is and makes me special is the fact that I can do both sell in the trenches, pick up a phone, have a meeting, sell from a trade show booth. And then I can also bridge the gap from 30,000 foot CEO from a strategic predictive analytics strategy marketing standpoint. So I can do both. I can live in a spreadsheet and create predictive analytics, or I can pick up a phone and close deals and write scripts and tell people and coach people on what to do. Very few people can do both. They're either one or the other.
Right. So if I'm coaching you using this behavioral science on how to close more deals, can you coach the coach? Yeah, of course you can coach the coach, right? What I would say is people are aware of sales training. They might be aware that you are a provider of sales training. What they might not be aware of is the need to have both that empathy with the frontline sales, as well as the analytics that the executive, the corner room, the C-suite wants. And the ability to bring that together is what you need as a company. So who cares if you just keep going out and saying, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. I coach sales. So what? The noise is deafening, right? Right. So you've got to raise consciousness. So that's the first thing to answer your question. What are most agencies doing? Why does most marketing fail? It's not really about awareness. It's about raising consciousness of how it matters to me, how you matter to me. Most people don't need more information about your category. There are very few people here listening that are creating a new category, right? So Steve Jobs, when he rolled out famously, I think it was in 08, he said, today I'm going to roll out, I'm going to show you a widescreen iPod. I'm going to show you a new digital communicator. He created three different categories. I can't remember the third one. Rescue me. Do you know it? I don't know. Nope. He created the three categories that we knew, and then he held up an iPhone. He actually had one thing to share. He was creating a new category. Most of us don't have to create a category, no. Right? Most of us need to raise consciousness of why we matter. So what was happening at that institution that hired us where we tried this science was every agency was creating awareness. Not a single agency had done any late-stage sales support. So one of our business's focuses is what we would call in today's vernacular sales enablement, right? So sales enablement is occurring through marketing technology. Sales enablement can occur through something as simple as communication. I've got a second client who we're moving into sales enablement right now. And one of the things we've done is we've created a common language. So the behavioral science, for example, says that somebody who's in preparation is stage three. Somebody who's in action, that's that step right before you're asking for proposals. You're looking at how does this change impact my business or my life? That's called action. So the behavioral science is pointing toward two different stages. Well, there's different needs. Sales is heavily involved, but marketing should not disappear. Most marketing disappears. They get a lead, they throw it over the wall, they don't talk. Sales is frustrated because they say, well, this lead wasn't ready to buy. Well, of course, they're not ready to buy. They're still in preparation for buying. But sales and marketing have to work together. So what a different world your business would be if sales and marketing worked together. They both knew what somebody who was in preparation at stage three, what they needed and what they need. Actually, the science teaches us they need emotional arousal. They need rational reevaluation. They need social liberation. They need helping relationships. And they need a private, need to make first a private commitment and then a public commitment. And I think that would be a fascinating thing to discuss, actually, private and then public commitments. So if you know that, if you're two teams, whether it's your outside agency or your inside department and your sales team, obviously, is, well, not obviously internal. Some people have independent reps. Everybody's got to have a language and a framework so they can talk in commonality. And here's my insider tip. When you're hiring a marketing person, when you're hiring an ad agency, let them show their stuff, let them talk, blah, blah, blah. Then say, tell me how you close a late stage deal and what marketing should be doing to support a late stage deal closure. If the agency or the marketing person can't answer that question, if they look at you dumbfounded, keep moving because marketing should support the entire customer journey. So that, Dan, long answer, Jason. The answer to what do we do differently than any other agency? One, we didn't try to create more awareness of a category. Two, we gave late stage sales support. And really three, we communicated. We were the only group of the three that communicated with sales. We said, here's what we're doing. Here's why we're doing it. What do you need to close deals? Here's some ideas that could help you. And that's how they made $380 million. That was a pretty good win.
Yeah. And from what you're describing, from the companies that I've seen do it really well, of my clients, they're doing that. Marketing knows that it's not over once the demo occurs, right? Or the appointment is set for the demo. Sales knows that it's a long game depending on the sales cycle. And so they have that weapon. They have that tool in the toolbox, which is marketing. It is the follow-up. Mm-hmm. It is the additional content, right? Not the follow-up, hey, are you ready to buy? But the, hey, here's some additional value. Here's some support in helping your decision for your reasons and segmented and tagged based on what it is that would help them the most and marketing being able to strategically provide that. So yeah, that's great insight because I think that is where most everybody fails that you think of where marketing takes it to point X, sales picks up the ball and runs with it. And then everyone points fingers at the other group for failing to win the game instead of being together long-term.
We have a product that is an SG&A reduction product. We're going to come in, we're going to audit, we're going to look at sales, general administrative costs and help you find ways to save money. Well, marketing budget-wise, it's been an interesting season as we're doing that. And two things have made it interesting. One, the prevalence of technology that allows a full CDJ, full accountability, front to back, looking at lifetime value and true customer acquisition cost, not just marketing, not just sales, not just customer success, but true lifetime value in the context of full funnel customer acquisition cost. That becomes really interesting as a way to measure. And the technology is there. It's here. It's now. I mean, we don't have to dream this up anymore. When I started my career, it was anecdotal at best, you know?
Yeah,
or vanity. So now that's one thing you've got to look at. And we have a revenue operations guy who is expert at coming in and identifying. We recently found a way that a company could increase the level of technology, improve it by making it full funnel, improve their reporting, and save $120,000. I mean, it's a big company, 19 nations. I mean, it's a big deal. So the other thing is, most people spend way too much money early stage. We spend way too much money creating awareness, too much stuff early, pre-contemplation, too much on advertising. We need to spend more money later. So in fact, when I'm consulting, if I want to help a company achieve short-term gain, which is more and more people are asking, we need short-term revenue wins. What we do is we don't start by creating more awareness and bringing more people through. I'll just say the top funnel. I hate that phrase, but that's another subject. We don't need to pile more people in. What we need to do is look at who's already there. Who are those dialogues? Who are we already meeting with? The money is in your database. If you don't have a database, I don't know where it is and I don't know how to find it, but your money is in your database, right? So let's look at that and let's work backwards from the exchange relationship. So who is the closest to an exchange relationship? Let's focus on them. And that's where the behavioral science brings to bear six processes. Six of the behavioral science processes are effective right before close. So if I'm going to audit your work, I'm going to say, well, let's look at the database. Let's look at what marketing's doing and sales is doing. What are their behaviors? What are the tools that are prepared? And I'm going to make sure that you have tools in all six of those categories. And you can read this stuff. It's not even my science, right? I really want to meet the man who leads this, but the book is Changing for Good. Just go on Amazon and buy it. It's an older book. You can get it used. If you read the front 100 pages, you're going to be in the genius category, right? It's really insightful. So Changing for Good, scan it, read it. The backside gets very technical, but the front is just profound. So how do you save money? Well, spend less money creating all this awareness, spend less on advertising, trade shows, all that stuff. Quit rebuilding your dang website. Stop it. Just look at what you can do to help close deals late stage and then work backward, closest to the deal to farthest out. And most people do the exact opposite. So short-term wins, work with sales, marketing,
well, and
sales.
And my next question was going to be like, what are successful companies that you're dealing with doing? And it sounds like they're following that framework. What are some successful traits of sales teams or top reps that you're seeing internally at other organizations? Like, what are they doing to be successful in kind of what you're seeing?
Well, so I think the first thing I'm seeing is, and I have the highest respect for sales. I can try to go out and sell something and I last a while. I just don't have whatever that internal thing is. I love to ride with sales. I learn so much better how to support them if I go ride with them. And the last time I was out in Colorado with a guy named Trace, and we were just driving down the road and he said, "Hey, look at that sign." And I looked at it and it was an oil and gas client. And he said, "They do XYZ in the oil and gas industry." I've never met him. And you know what he did, right? He just pulled in, walked in the front door and said, "I need to speak with the guy who da 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 da." And I'm sitting there going, "We don't have an appointment. We're just walking in." And yeah. I just have such utmost respect for that passion and that desire. Again, they authentically want to persuade for the other person's good because this person has a great product that really does matter. Anyway, so they still have that passion. And if the environment doesn't allow you to get there because of distance or budget or whatever, then great. Use tools. There are some great video tools. In fact, we're using something now called Vidyard. And Vidyard is an amazing tool that allows you to be present through video and share details. Just an amazing tool. So I think I'm seeing the smartest and the best people are staying present. They're still out in difficult economic times, in times where travel is more and more difficult. So I think that's one thing. The other thing I see is incredible communication. So if you have a RevOps mindset, revenue operations mindset, then in that sales enablement period, you see sales teams coming in and talking to marketing. So we had a sales guy last quarter called us and said, here's this company, and we are needing to close this company. We are in pursuit of them. They have such a need for our product, but I can't seem to get them. So marketing did this really great thing. And your marketing teams and agencies should be doing this too. We said, okay, let's look at this one-to-one sales situation. And it was one deal. So I'm not talking about marketing to 100. I'm talking about marketing to one deal. And we can do that today. So we looked at the deal and we said, okay, their current provider has these six weaknesses. And the company we were, the prospect, knows what the weaknesses were. That's why they were in contemplation. And it is important to understand that customers who are working for you or buying from you, rather, right today, 80% of them in the next year are going to retreat and go back through contemplation about whether they should be or shouldn't be. So if you want an argument for investing in customer success, it's not fluff, it's real. You got 80% of that revenue, say it in that way, right? 80% of your revenue is considering moving your revenue. So we were looking at that. This prospect was going through that contemplation, that rethinking cycle. We knew the six weaknesses. We built a web page for those six weaknesses. They addressed those weaknesses directly. We then delivered digital communications, advertising, but only to the CEO, the SVP of sales, the CFO, the plant managers at six locations, and anybody that walked in and out of specific locations. We did not buy Google Ads. We delivered through something called account-based marketing. We delivered messages around the six weaknesses of the incumbent to the prospect. They closed the deal in 3-4 weeks, I think it was, because everybody understood it. There was B2B, large, complex businesses. There's always this, I need other people in the committee. I need the CFO. There's this high risk of failure because I don't want to be the numbskull that brought them in. But no. If you're running a SMB space, advertising doesn't only or shouldn't, marketing shouldn't only deliver early stage messages and certainly not awareness unless you're creating a new category. So we have the technology now and the skills. And if you apply the science, you can deliver late stage messages. In this case, it's a tool called countering. So countering is saying you've got a current behavior. There's an alternative to this behavior. And let me give you a way to look at it and reevaluate it and to arouse what it could be like if you would change. And then we offered a helping relationship. So we offered XYZ and engineering could help you think through this in a safe, private way. So you don't have to risk being a fool to the executive team. You can just evaluate this one-on-one. And then publicly, we'll also equip you. We have a helping relationship. And then you can make that leadership team. And it worked. They closed a $280 million lifetime deal. Obviously, it's a big long-term deal. Now, did I close that deal? Did marketing close that deal? No. Sales closes deals. If you talk to Brian, the sales rep, Brian would say we had a big impact in helping him close what he'd been nurturing for a long time. But Jason, did you hear that strategy? Digital advertising, one-to-one web pages. I mean, how many listeners do you think out there have websites or pages built for one prospect? Very few.
Yeah. And how effective could that be? And relative to what somebody's selling? I mean, and maybe it's a one-to-many, but very specific as well, right? So I have one web page that speaks to one industry or one size, one super specific, I'm not a big fan of it, but avatar and person you're going after. And then your ABM strategy is driving this small, small subsegment to this one page because it speaks to that industry issue or that size issue.
So
that
we did involve the prospect's name and specific weaknesses, but then the aha moment came for us to, hey, you know what? If this provider, I'll name them. So if you're with Toshiba, call me. I'll tell you what to do. So Toshiba had these particular weaknesses. Well, our sales team now knows they've got a page, they've got messaging, and they've got a playbook to go after anybody who's buying from Toshiba, right? So it's a playbook. It's a late stage playbook. It's sitting out there in the World Wide Web. You can find it. Just going to have to type a lot of options. But yeah, it's an incredible tool. I think that's where we're seeing a great success from sales teams. The the ones that are communicating with marketing and the marketing teams that know how to support them with late stage tools or behaviors, processes.
Yeah, because I think one of the things, and you said this early on, is that the world is just really noisy, right? Like trying to just shotgun blast or nuclear blast your message out there, you might get some results, but it's those same people who are proud of their million cold calls they made. Yes, you can get some success by scorched earth marketing or outbound, but how many people are you going to go through in your own team? And then what's the best for your brand? What's the best long-term? Sometimes you got to do that short-term and then get to the point where you can do it in a different method. But so shifting just a little bit here, because this obviously the authentic persuasion show, what do you feel authenticity means?
Well, I think it has to come from a core of ethic and of value. I mean, the interesting thing about ethics and values is if I ask a sales team if they have ethics or values, or a marketing person, what's the answer? Yes.
Of course.
Everybody does. They may be very different from yours, right? So, I mean, I think to be authentic, and this is the oldest lesson in sales, right? You can sell something you don't believe in. You can sell something you don't use. If you're a client of mine, unwilling to experiment with your money. So if you have a late stage sales problem and you want to try this landing page solution that's one-to-one sales, I've done it before with my money. If I recommend Vidyard, that means I've bought Vidyard. I've used it. So I think that's authentic. I think you just can't sell stuff to sell stuff. I think you've got to really, and this is the key to the whole thing. When I say I won't experiment with your money, what I'm saying is I've actually got your interests in front of my interests. So if I can sell from that point of view, if I can sell from a, your interests are the priority, not mine. My need is revenue. Everybody knows what I'm selling. My need is revenue. When you sell, your need is revenue. So, I mean, capitalism is fabulous. It will allow the winners to sort themselves out. And there's ways to regulatory controls. You can work into markets that have heavy regulatory controls, but you still need to be selling. I've got a client who sells a protocol to make sure a fireman's mask fits tightly. Well, that's really about saving the lives of firemen. Yeah. Now, they make revenue by doing it really well. There's another company who they sell into the same market. I don't know how they sell, because the protocol and the science that my client has is clearly head and shoulders above in providing safety. So I think you've just got to believe it. You got to buy it. You've got to come from, and the key is serving others. Is that cliche, Jason, to say serve others?
No, it's perfect. I think it's great. What would you say is your definition of success?
Ooh, now you're throwing curveballs. Or was that a slider? You just threw one down the dirt to see if I could go after it.
Yeah. Just see if you're going to swing for it. Yeah.
Well, I don't think we need to live to work. And I do believe in success as being living your life's purpose and goals. For me, I believe that Christianity and the Bible teaches me that my purpose is built in a God who made me and created me and has specific things for me to achieve on life. I don't know how I could go through life without purpose. I don't know how I'd face the hard days. I don't know how I would temper the great days. So for me, success means you're living your life's purpose. And my way of understanding that is through just reading the Bible. It's all the way through it.
That's awesome. I love that.
This is a religious show, right? Or is this a sales show? Is this a religious show?
Sales and life. Everything is life. So then here's the last curveball. This one's a super curveball. The journey or the destination? Short answer.
Oh, I will add, one of my best friends from college said, in business, there is a scorecard. So success does have a financial number, but success is not having, I wish I had a bigger house and a boat and all that kind of stuff. That's not success. Journey. Absolutely. Journey. What good is it? You know, I'll lean back on my faith again. No one ever laid in bed at night going, oh, I wish I'd closed one more deal. Well, they might lay in bed now at the end of their life. They don't lay in their deathbed going, I should have closed more deals. They should have invested with their family. They should have had a life of purpose. Yeah. They should have had a life of contribution to others. That's the root of what's good sales, what's authentic sales. It's selfless.
Yeah. Now, earlier in the show, so what I want to do now is share with people where they can find you. And you had mentioned having something of an offer for the audience, which I think is amazing. And I love that. So tell people where they can find you and where they can find your...
It's a- So what Jason's really saying is that he's very kind. He's offered for me to send a few copies of my book, Shift, to you. So my marketing team has created a free help. So if you go to fitzmartin.com/free-help, that's FITZMARTIN.com/free-help. You'll find an email there and just shoot me an email. It comes to me. You're not going to get barraged with any marketing follow-ups. And I'll ask you for your address. And Jason, thank you for being kind and providing a few books. That was very thoughtful. Fitzmartin has a blog and some podcast, beginnings of a baby podcast, nothing like this amazing podcast. And there's also a site called SeanMDoyle.com. That's SeanMDoyle, DOYLE.com. And I've produced some videos that explain this cognitive marketing model. And just dive in and look at that. Look at one. I think you'll get enough value just out of doing it. You don't have to buy anything. Yeah, you'll get value. You'll start seeing some of the discovery, the aha moments that we've talked about today. And I offer them in a little more clarity and depth because we could probably talk for an hour on each of the nine yeah. processes. How long? Do we have 8 more hours to go, Jason?
No, and you're right. I mean, we definitely could, which I appreciate. So for everyone listening, make sure to go to the Fitzmartin/free-help.
Fitzmartin.com. Yeah, slash free dot. Free.
Help, and then also the SeanMDoyle.com.
Come on, we'd be glad to have you. Jason, I hope we added some value today. Thank you so much for having me here. It was a great visit.
No, it was super fun. It was such a good high level and then also strategic, which I love. Thanks again, Sean, for being on the show. And what we'll have to do is get you back on to do the other 7.5 hours at some point for sure.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. Take care. Thanks for tuning into the Authentic Persuasion Show. If you found value in this episode, please do 2 things. Subscribe so you can get each new episode and share this episode with anyone else you know in sales. Together, we can help shift the way sales is done. And if you want to find out more information about how to transform your sales career, or you want help with shifting your sales team from order takers to quota breakers, go to jasoncutter.com. Don't forget that everything in life is sales, and I will catch you on the next episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show.